The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here, Analyze This, on Great Discussion to start this week's Analyze This. I think we're going to call the weather service now. But some programming notes for tonight, okay? The news hour at 7 p.m. Finding Your Roots, Explore the Roots of David Duchovny and Richard Kind. That's from 8 to 9. Frontline, we got actually a two-hour edition of Frontline. Explore Elon Musk's journey from provocative user to sole proprietor of Twitter. Right? That's from 9 to 11. And then I'm Important Company from 11 to midnight. Okay? So, the news hour from 7 to 8. Finding Your Roots from 8 to 9. And then Frontline from 9 to 11. And I'm Important Company from 11 to 12. You know, I'm a big Twitter, right? I joined Twitter actually to keep an eye on sports and politics and all that stuff. Jack Dorsey was the man when Twitter opened. And of course, Elon Musk, his obsession with manipulating how people view things and all that stuff. He buy it and he ain't been the same. You know what I mean? Actually changed it from the Twitter to the X, you know what I'm saying? Which I got a problem with, you know what I'm saying? Because when Malcolm X movie came out in 92, they had a X baseball shirt, a white one, and Public Enemy. Of course, you know, Spike Lee and Denzel Washington, they were the ones who directed and starred, respectively. Spike actually acted in the movie. An X, you know what I'm saying? So to see him take that over to me is a little kind of, I got a problem with that. But, he like attention, so I don't really take him on all that stuff. I don't know, we got to, I don't know if we got the weather service. We might have to, just have to put that off until down the road. I don't think we have the weather service, right? We didn't get the weather service, right? We didn't get the weather service. They're on the line busy. Normally, it'll be busy around 9 o'clock, so maybe till tomorrow. But so much for that. We're going to get into some bush tea today, because we're going to do a midweek table talk tomorrow. So Doug Skoll and Ronnie Russell, because the ranking member is excused. He's dealing with some run-ins this week. So Doug Skoll and Ronnie Russell, if I am busy tomorrow morning, definitely want to get into some table talk, a midweek edition of table talk. In the meantime and in between time, some bush tea is in order. And of course, our bush tea connoisseur, the one and only Attorney Dwayne Henry, who got a brother who's a big Jacksonville councilman, Mr. Amaro, Councilman Amaro. So he got political tentacles all over the place. Councilor, what's up, man?
Good morning, Senator.
I like that. First of all, I was just thinking, because today's October 10th. It was October 1st the other day. A third of the month done gone already. What's going on in 2023, man?
For them that are thinking, I got some time till the end of the year.
Me know about that, we had 90 days. 90 days come October 1. 10 of that done gone already. You know what I'm saying?
Imagine. Let me tell you, as somebody in private practice, it's like, wow, these deadlines just keep coming up.
Yeah, man. One ninth of it done gone already, you know what I'm saying? So
It is
what it is. Check this out. So I had some run-ins planned for a hop over to St. Thomas on Friday, right? When I came into the studio Friday morning, I saw that one of my guests was a young lady who was doing an exhibit at the 81C Studios opening that night, right? So I said to myself, what? I gonna be over in Iraq and this thing open. So try your best to don't say nothing and surprise them, right? So I head over to St. Thomas, deal with my run-ins, and then I went down to the 81C studio down there. Hey, first of all, right, her name is Miss Cruz, Tamaria Cruz. She refers to herself as Cy Croy. Look now, St. Croy well represented over there, Mr. She do an excellent job. She do an excellent job. She's a photographer, and she does the real-time shots and all that stuff. She do an excellent job. I finally got to meet the proprietors of the 81C studio. And by the way, right, so I get there about 8-ish, because 8, 9-ish, because it was a 5 to 12 event. So I saw some educators. I was introduced to them. And guess what they said, Dwayne? Oh, we listen to Analyze This every morning. Right, one lady, right? She said, "You know, when I first heard that they were gonna do something on NPR 93.1, you know, I had my reservations. You know what I'm saying? Because they used to, so I told her that's expected. You're used to Morning Edition, right? Morning Edition. You know, everybody custom to their routine and all that stuff. And then she said, "But you grew on me."
There you go.
And I said, well, you know, that's expected. You know what I'm saying? And they really appreciate what we do here. Said you and, you know, Mr. Henry and the other folks at Summer and all that, when they fill in, y'all do that. So I wanted to let you know that you're appreciated, my brother. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, man. People like what we're doing. And a matter of fact,
we do this because we sense a duty, you know?
Yeah.
We're not doing this for a rich personal enrichment or anything like this.
No, not at all. Not at all. And not only that, remember, I told them, and I always tell the public when I'm talking about this particular medium, you know, we're not a commercial station, so we're okay. We can focus on what's really going on and not get into having to sell the station, you know what I'm saying? Because just talking the truth and speaking facts is selling what we do here on this particular medium. You know what I'm saying? So that's right. Important. And then I met a couple that were educators. They said they moved here in the 60s and never leave. You know what I'm saying? They were educators at Charles Tamale High School, right? So I know for a fact that they are living proof, Dwayne, that people come here and they fall in love with the Virgin Islands, man. You know, it's the best about it.
Oh, yeah. You know, growing up, some of us had teachers or mentors, especially teachers that when we was in school and stuff like that, or were in school, they had just moved on and stuff. And, you know, I'd go away and I'd come back after all these years, and I'm happy to find that most of them are still here.
Still here, man. Remember Miss Widmer, who was the art teacher at Central High School?
Yes.
I think her name is Gail Widmer. She was an art teacher, right? And I keep seeing her, you know, years later, and I'm like,
not wrong.
Yeah, man.
Not wrong. The editor, Mr. Butcher, he used to be the art teacher.
Ivan Butcher, right?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
He doing environmental tours and all kinds of stuff.
And you know something, Dwayne? They came here in their 20s, you know, right? So they lived the majority of their life here on St. Croix and in the Virgin Islands, right? And I believe
Flowers.
Yeah, man. The couple I met were the Campbells, and they taught, and Mr. Campbell.
Campbell.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm talking about the couple that I met on Friday. They worked at Charles Tamale High School. And they bragged about, I think her name is either Ruth Thomas or Ruth Gums. They were bragging about how great a principal she was. And she was before Turnbull and Liston Davis. Yeah. They got here in the 60s. Yeah. And a lady named is Jam.
And our equivalent is Ruth Beagles.
Ruth Beagles, correct. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And a lady. And don't forget Rupert Ross and Otis Hicks.
Right.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, Ruth Beagles when I was in fifth grade at the then St. Peter's School.
Mm-hmm. Paul B. Larson.
Such an impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, amazing.
Yeah.
And then later on, I had like Melba Biggs and things like that.
But
my Miss Beagles.
And I spoke to these educators. I think her name was Miss Jamran. And I spoke to the Campbells, and you know, they just touched, they just validated what we talk about here on a regular basis, which is if we invest in the Virgin Islands, given our attributes, and we exercise a consistent level of discipline. I look outside. You walk in this studio. When you look outside here, and this vista that we got here on the second floor at the PBS building, and we look at all the natural beauty here,
Oh man!
I mean, with all due respect, I don't believe. Let me put it this way: I will match the vista that we have here against any vista in the world, as it relates to being inspirational anywhere.
Absolutely. You look across the water.
St.
John.
Man.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And then you see the people, what you look down, you see people walking to the post office and stuff, just everyday life. And it's like a shot that what do you call it? A snapshot of life in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, man.
Right, looking through that window.
Yeah, man. And our educators, and I wanted to take at least one segment of our Bush Tea Talk this morning to focus on how educators, impacted us, but not just impacted us, impacted their own lives by, moving, to someplace I would think is completely different from wherever they were on the mainland. You know what I'm saying? And they come here, they fall in love. Let's face it, our hospitality is second to none, and it ain't just about a commercial hospitality, Dwayne Henry. We have no problem with you coming in here and being a part of this society, and this is decades long traditions we're talking about here, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like I just mentioned earlier, John Stout. I remember when Mr. Stout came to Central High in 10th grade. Mm-hmm. He was fresh out of the new school for social research in Greenwich Village.
Wow.
And that was the first time I ever heard about that school. And he always would talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. And he taught, he was a political philosopher. He is a political philosopher. And he taught American history and Western civilization and stuff. But his approach was very, he used the Socratic method very much. And we were not really used to that. And here was this guy forcing us not to memorize or memorize things, but to think.
Mm-hmm.
We had the textbook and stuff like that, but the textbook supplemental the in-class discussion. It wasn't a matter of reading the chapter and coming in and regurgitating it and taking a quiz and that kind of thing. It's about reading the chapter and coming in. And we're going to have a discussion.
But look now,
and at first it was difficult for him because everybody was like, what's up with this guy? But then he caught on. And up to now, when I talk to people like Joni Peters and Oswin Newton and stuff like that, everybody remembers Mr. Stout.
That's what he's supposed to do.
I ran into him like about 2 years ago. He's still here.
But that's what, look, I'm a history major. Dates and cities are synonymous with anybody who studies history, but there's a story, there's a reason why there's significance with the dates and the locations, because things happen that led to whatever happened at that particular time. You know what I'm saying? It ain't just about something, man. You got a treaty of Ghent. You know what I'm saying? B, you had a war, man. That's the reason why. There's a reason why you had to put in place a treaty. You know what I'm saying? Something led to that. You know what I'm saying? So
something did lead to that.
Yeah. You know, so and we mentioned Otis Hicks, right?
And his wife.
Dorothy, right? And look, let me tell you something. You know how I know that they were here for a long, long time? Gloria Joseph told me that Dorothy Hicks was one of her mentors.
Imagine.
You know what I'm saying? Of course, for those of you who don't know, Gloria Joseph is arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, cooks we've had here on St. Croix in a lot of years. No, of course, to each his own, right? And we've had, you know something? Let me put it this way. She's in that top tier, and I'm going to leave it like that. So that we don't offend anybody. You know what I'm saying?
And it's a top five.
Easily, right? And when she said, Neville, she was my home economics teacher. I said, for real? Because I went to school with Miss Hicks' children, right? And Wayne just sent me a text about that. But you know what I loved about Mr. Hicks' later days? He would go down to the seaplane and sit down there in the morning and read the newspapers.
Right?
Yeah. And I was like,
community.
Wow. Yeah, man. And you know what he was doing? He was reminiscing. Right, because I'm sure when he came here, it was the goose, not the seaplane.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? It was Antilles the goose.
Antilles Airboats, right down there.
With his son Otis Jr.
Yes, you know what I'm saying, and it was Bruce and Denise and Donnie. You know what I'm saying, and they were there in Anna's Hope.
To play music.
Yeah, and they were there. They were there in Anna's Hope, and of course, Anna's Hope is a very, very special part. For those of you who don't know, on St. Croix. Estate Anna's Hope is where a lot of our veterans, right? They had set aside properties for our veterans to own property, to build homes and all that stuff when they came back home. And they built a detention center. Remember, it had a federal detention center right across the street, right? And that devalued the properties, right? Of the homeowners right across. And it's little things like that. You know, we need to be, you know, we just need to be a little bit more sensitive about Dewey Henry. We just can't be doing things willy-nilly and not factoring in the overall impact of the things that we do. And that's all about planning. And I was glad that you texted me last week when Mr. Krieger were here, right? Sean Krieger, right? Because we keep taking planning for simple, like we just said in our colloquial tone, but they're a simple thing. We need to be a little bit, that's why that comprehensive land and water use planning is important, Wayne.
Exactly, yes. And that's why public participation in these things is even more important, because if the public, you may not think that you, as an average citizen, you're not the architect, you're not a blah, 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 whatever. So you may not think that whatever you have to say doesn't mean anything. But it does, because it's not all about it. Because if we leave it up to the real estate people and all of them there, they're going to zone it for how they want.
Yeah, man. And we can't do that.
We need the input from the people, because, you know, the lay guy that has a house, but he really can't, and he's running a plumbing business. And he can't really afford a commercial thing. We need to have zoning that accommodates things like that, that you could run a home business out of it, that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
And
when we get the feedback from the people is when we know that this is something that the people want.
And that it's having the kind of impact that it needs to have here in the territory. A little more, Steve, on Tuesday, October the 10th. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what's taking place in the Middle East. Significant run-ins taking place over there in the Gaza Strip. Be back right after this.
Opportunities at Bank of St. Croix. Bank of St. Croix offers CDs for education, homes, or vacations. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Galas Bay at 340-773-8500 and one in Peters Rest at 340-713-8500. A penalty might be imposed for early withdrawal, new money only. Funds may not be transferred from existing Bank of St. Croix accounts to CDs. Rates subject to change at any time. Fees may reduce earnings and principal. www.bankofstcroix.com. Member FDIC.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
WTJX's Taste of Two Islands is back. Join us at Antilles Mark C. Marin Center on December 14th for the long-awaited return of the Taste, a culinary feast for the season.
Hosted by me, George Cultureman Silcat.
Early bird tickets go on sale beginning Monday, October 16th through Tuesday, November 14th. Tickets will be available at Chelsea's Drugstore in Red Hook, Barefoot Buddha across from Haven Site Mall, and Bonita's Cantina in Nisky Shopping Center. Tickets can also be purchased online at WTJX.org/taste or call 340-774-6255 or 340-690-7293. Don't miss this opportunity to experience the magic of local cuisine as you dance to the rhythms of Spectrum Band. Sponsors for this event are VI Lottery, Antilles School, West Indies Company, Cardo Wine and Spirits, First Bank, Bellows International, the VI Office of Highway Safety, and the VI Housing Finance Authority. It's the return of the Taste, Thursday, December 14th at 6 p.m. A taste you can never forget.
And we're back here analyzing this, having a little bush tea. And you know, the beauty of this particular show, right, is that we don't have a problem talking, even though it's a local discussion, we don't have a problem talking national and international and regional run-ins here on this show. And the reason why, Dwayne Henry, is because the Virgin Islands being the melting pot that it is, we got people from all over the world living in the Virgin Islands, as small as we are. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, we got Filipinos.
They were our doctors and educators back in the day. Yeah.
Who would think they would end up here of all places? The kids.
Yo,
they're actually on the Pacific side.
Literally,
the way across the country.
Literally half the way around the world.
Yeah.
And the other side of the world, right? Remember, we had Dr. Kamoys and Batenga and Dizana and Jomanibo and all of them. Yeah, man.
Dizana.
Yeah. Evangelista, you know what I'm saying?
Evangelista.
We had them here. Anyway, we woke up Saturday morning to the news that Hamas, right, had launched a big assault on Israel on Saturday morning. Firing a barrage of rockets from Gaza and sending fighters across the border. Now, I'm reading this from a timeline of Israel-Palestine conflict in Gaza as Hamas launches an assault. Now, the timeline, which begins, and I'm reading this, which begins with Israel's 2005 withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, details the major flare-ups in the conflict between Israel and Palestinian groups, right? And they said, right, they said the following timeline, which begins with the withdrawal and the flare-ups, right, between Israel and Palestine in the crowded coastal enclave, which is home to 2.3 million people, right? They said in August of 2005, right? And I know people are saying, well, this thing lasted longer than that. You're gonna understand what I'm talking about. Israeli forces unilaterally withdraw from Gaza 38 years after capturing it from Egypt in the Middle East War, abandoning settlements and leaving the enclave under the control of the Palestinian Authority. Let me stop from there. Right? 1967, right, was when this whole thing really, right, took on a whole different, you know, dynamic.
Yes, that's
right?
When Israel seized a lot of territory.
Exactly. And Egypt, right? Egypt played a big part in this, right? Because remember, though, they had control of that Middle East region there, right?
They did, yeah.
And Israel decided, no. We're going to take this over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that created tensions that exist to this second that you and I are talking right now.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, this is personal for me from the standpoint mm-hmm. that when we were on the Quiz Bowl team, right, back in mm-hmm. back in 1982, this is 15 years after the capturing of this mm-hmm. area, the Israeli capturing of this area from Egypt, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the questions that they asked us. Yeah, and Charles Attill, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, he's a doctor, right? That's Clifford Graham, brother-in-law, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we had a nice little team. We win the St. Great Championship. You know who was our, because I was a senior and he was a sophomore. You know who was the, junior? Apurva Modi. He turned out to be a tech man now. He don't work in the States. And then Jennifer Nixon. Remember Mr. Nixon, who was a pharmacist?
Yes.
His daughter was the freshman, right? And Charles Attill, right?
Yes.
He hit the buzzer right before I hit the buzzer, I never forget that one, because you know who was the timekeeper for that one there? Valdemar Hill. The one and only Valdemar Hill. So that was good. And I'll never forget that moment when Charles Attill said 1967. You know, as a history buff, I was like, no, I like that. And he turned out to be a doctor. Hey. He's a doctor in San Diego right now. You know what I'm saying? But this thing, Dwayne Henry, this thing predating us, when you talk 67, right? That's what, 56 years ago, this thing going on, man?
Listen, this thing actually, if you want to look at it from a biblical...
No, that's a whole different discussion. We were just keeping it there by that time, but you're absolutely correct.
Yeah. They actually started in 1917. When the British, there was a lot of Zionists in Europe and things
correct.
Clamoring for a whole long and remember, Britain had owned Palestine at the time.
Yes.
It was actually owned by the parts that were owned by the Ottoman Empire,
mm-hmm.
and then also Britain, and I think Greece had some portions of it. That's when the settlements first started. Of course, you know, what we know as modern-day Israel was from the 1947 UN mandate, which split it up like that. It actually had carved out a Palestinian state and a British and a Israeli state. And then the wars is what changed those territorial boundaries.
Well,
67 and 1973.
Mm-hmm.
Those wars is what, when the Arab countries invaded Israel and because they were upset over the breakdown of the thing. You know, remember it was Egypt in 67, it was Egypt and Syria that had launched the thing against Israel, and they were summarily defeated. You know, and then the same thing happened in 1973 with the Yom Kippur War.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the thing about that, though, right, is World War II, right? Remember, World War II was critical as well, you know, because Hitler...
That's why I said the 48 mandate.
Yeah, correct. But I'm just talking about how indescribable.
Yes, because what Hitler did to
his targeting Jewish people, right? I mean,
my good friend Dalila Patton just passed away, so that's right.
So they had already established that they needed some place that they wanted to call home.
They had to give them something because they were not wanted in Europe.
Yeah, correct.
They were not wanted.
Correct.
In Europe, so.
Correct. Correct. But I looking back at it,
mm-hmm.
where they went to,
mm-hmm.
where they went to, it looks like it's gonna be just raging forever, man. This thing gonna never die, man.
It's gonna be raging forever because what happened was. Those are, once again, you know, the colonizers, you know, the same thing they did in Africa, where they created these artificial boundaries, and Africa is going through the same thing now.
Yeah, man.
You know, where your people are like, how come Rwanda, everybody? Because you know what they did? They went and created boundaries in between tribes.
But you know something? This is why, when you hear people having... internal despisal,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm gonna use that terminology for England and France, right? You know why now, right? Because no two countries colonized that part of the world like England and France.
That's right? Why I use the term colonizer.
I know, yeah, exactly. I piggyback in on what you say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but when you just look at it, didn't India have this problem at one point with England?
The same thing with Pakistan and India.
Pakistan and India? What about Taiwan? what about Taiwan? Taiwan had an issue as well?
That's
Formosa.
I mean, technically, that's part of China. I mean, that's an artificial country.
These areas that I'm talking about are nowhere near England and France, right?
That's what I'm saying.
And it goes to show, right, how power, the love of power, manipulation, money, right? We were talking about the Middle Passage last week, right? I can't remember who I was speaking with, right? And we spoke about the middle. Oh, I was speaking with the man, Drury, I think his name was somebody, who was supposed to give a speech at the Baha'i Center over there in St. Thomas, right? And we talk about the Middle Passage, but what the first and third legs of the passage is what manipulated and created all the loss in the Middle Passage. You know what I'm saying? and that was all about what? Selling goods for human abuse. You follow what I'm saying? Things that they're manufacturing in Europe, right? Take it down to Africa, right? You got colonization. You got your own people selling one another to ship them on a boat where a lot of them died, right?
Yes.
Hundreds of thousands, maybe millions died in that Middle Passage, coming over from Africa to the Western world, whether it be the lower part, the Caribbean or America. And then selling them for furs to go back to England where Europe, where everything started. Uh-huh. That's the reason why, you know, we try to maintain a level of civility, Dwayne Henry, right? Because we are, what, 300-400 years removed from when this was taking place, right? But when people read about this history, you can't hold it against them for taking it personal, Dwayne. You can't.
That's what I'm saying is that. You can't look at everything in today's eyes. You've got history. I'm a history minor, but I love history.
Me.
Completely, as you can tell.
And I love it. By the way.
You got to go back, because if you don't understand that history, you can't understand the present. You're going to have misconceptions about what's going on in the present.
Not only
you
that.
You have to understand everything. And like I said, in the case of Israel and Palestine, it's the Palestinians caught hell in the past and the Jews caught hell in the past. So it's like, how do we resolve that? How do you know? And then the lines that Britain tried to draw, for instance, was so messed up back in 1948, where, like, you know, the most of the water rights and stuff, the lands that they had access to water were given to one side and not to the other. The other side was given arid land. And that's part of why, you know, there were these movements over the years in 67 and 73 to recapture some of it, because they gave people bad land.
Fast forward to 2006. This is just 5 months removed from Israeli forces withdrawing from Gaza, right? The Islamic group Hamas wins a majority of the seats in the Palestinian legislative election. Israel and the U.S. cut off aid to Palestinians because Hamas refuses to renounce violence and recognize Israel. And that is, to me, the foundation for what we're dealing with now.
Listen, we do mediation a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you do when you walk into the mediating room, right? And it's the same thing with unions and stuff. You can't go in with no preconceptions and stuff like that. You have to go with an open mind, because if you go in saying, well, you know, this is the minimum I'm going for or me going for this, then you can't have a true negotiation, because you already know what you're not going to do. You know, so you can't have these things where, okay, Hamas is, the people have selected Hamas in the Gaza, right? You can't say, well, I'm not going to talk to them unless they do X, Y, and Z. No, engage them, and maybe they'll come around and give up those you know. But you have to talk to them.
No, but on the flip side, though, Hamas has to at least make some kind of time commitment.
They have to do it, too.
To back off of the violence.
Hamas can't have the extinction of Israel or the extinguishing of Israel as the prime thing. That's craziness also.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to give that up.
When I came on here the day after the shooting in Uvalde, Texas last year, I was questioning whether or not America is a civilized society, right? And I owe America an apology. This isn't an American. This isn't an American issue. This is a global issue, man.
It is a global issue,
and it's gotten to the point now where violence, right? People are believing that extreme behavior is the only way to either get attention or to solve a problem. And
I have been saying that about what's happening right here in St. Croix.
Yeah, man. You know, and I cannot buy into that. Dwayne, you and I grew up in the 70s, graduate from high school, 80s and all that, early 80s, right? We never lived like this, man. We never been exposed to this. So you can't expect me and you, right, who never been exposed to this year growing up, to now just buy into this because that's what we evolved into. We don't have to do that.
I'm not doing it. I'm not accepting it.
No, sir.
My nephew is here from the D.C. area. He went to Maryland Law School and works for the IRS. And he asked me over the weekend if I was going to the Puerto Rico VI friendship thing. And I told him, I don't go nowhere.
Yes, sir.
Especially at night.
Yes, sir.
And he was like, what you mean? So this man, when I sent him the story about the shooting down there, then, you know,
imagine
like,
that.
Damn, I said, no, you know what I'm talking about.
B, I leave X the spot, right? I say, you know something? I had answers the week before. I going to take a drive at some point. And when I banked in Canada by Cuesta Vardy, right, to go meet Beeston Hill, I say, you know something? Definitely go hunger later. You know, hey, you know,
Thank you.
Don't go act like you some young boy. Next thing you know, I wake up this morning. Here we got shooting. Here we got shooting down there. This is crazy.
Hear that? Yeah. And then the other one over by Glen. And they say he did through a sunroof, raking, shot after people.
This is crazy.
What kind of madness is this?
We got Carla on the lane. We got one more minute before we go to break. Good morning, Carla. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain, but I could not help but add my half cent to you and
No. To get in the dance is 2 cents.
Go ahead and announce it.
He go pay. This is 2 cents, not the half cent. So if you got half cent or hey penny, if you got hey penny, right? Okay, so.
Okay, well, I'm
going
to have to owe you a cent and a half.
Oh, that's okay. You can run a tab. But hold on a second. We're going to a break, and I don't want to interrupt you when you start.
All right.
We got Hannibal O'Brien joining us here in this discussion. He's going to be on, hopefully, for the last segment with myself, Lily Bush T. And he's going to let us know if you got any sarsaparilla this morning as well. Dwayne, you know you got lemongrass, and he like his sarsaparilla from when he been up there, up in the Bronx with the sarsaparilla in the morning. So we'll take a break, come back. Great discussion. So Lily Bush T, the day after Indigenous Peoples Day. Okay? Be back right after this.
News happens all week, all around the world.
If you want to understand what this French election is all about...
Four candidates are running unopposed, and three of them met reporters Thursday.
Whatever the outcome of today's elections, the secessionist genie is out of the bottle.
News, analysis, perspective, music, books, and sports, too. Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition,
Saturdays at 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Doom scrolling. Let's break that habit, folks. I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where if you want to know what's going on in the world and why it matters, all you have to do is give your thumb a rest and perk up your ears. We've got the news, but we've also got curiosity, joy, and surprise. Tune in for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 8 a.m. right here on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here. I analyze this, having a good discussion about what's taking place in the Middle East now, how it's impacting global perspectives. We're having a little bush tea this morning. I got my good friend Dwayne Henry and the man out of the West joining us now, Hannibal O'Brien. He is a territorial public defender par excellence. Good morning, counselors. How are both of you gentlemen this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, both of y'all.
No lemongrass, Dwayne?
Yeah, I had that earlier, but I can't remember there in the street snow.
Yeah, you're in the street,
I had a lemongrass and a balsam mix.
And Hannibal, tell me what it is this morning, man. Tell me what it is this morning.
Well, I'm going to have a little center later on.
Then you got to do that when you're there.
I like that one.
That's why I said later on.
Later on. I like that one.
You gotta do set up where you're the who.
Yeah, Hannibal, what prompted you blessing us and my audience this morning with your presence?
Well, one of the things that the audience need to be mindful of is not only did you have the so-called allies taking a country that existed, Palestine, and just handing it over to a group of individuals who were transient because of the fact that none of the allies wanted them to come to their country after World War II. And when they got there, they decided, like the Boers before them, like America, that they were going to relegate everybody who was of the Islamic faith and who were called Palestinians to second-class citizenship. They were going to have them, and what they keep doing that escalates the tension is the fact that they keep building these what they call Jewish settlements in areas that are predominated by individuals who are of the Islamic faith, who are Palestinian, and again, relegating them to second-class citizens. They cannot go certain places. And all based on how they worship their God. Now, you know, we keep drinking the Kool-Aid from the media, you know, because of the fact that the media, and most people are aware of the fact that the large tracts of media are controlled by individuals of the Judaic faith, you know, you get a singular perspective in terms of what's going on there. I mean, if you listen to you listen to the news, you'd swear to God that the attacks by Hamas was, you know, just unprovoked, out of nowhere. They were just minding their business, and these individuals launched this, in fact, they're called terrorists. Now, you know, we had a whole movement about ending apartheid in South Africa. We never called the individuals who were struggling to gain some sort of equity in the country that they were indigenous to, terrorists. Once you label a group of individual terrorists, you snatch from them any moral high ground they might have already had.
But that was decades of terrorism going on in South Africa.
But you see, you know, how much, I mean, 1948, the most massive weapons transfer in the world mm-hmm. has taken place to the place they call Israel now. I mean, even biblically, they were settlers coming to a place where people were already existent, claiming that God, you know, God chose them to choose this particular period place on earth.
But 75. Let me ask a counter question here. 75 years okay. later, right? Mm-hmm. From 48. We are better off from an information perspective because we got the Al Jazeera of the world. No, we got networks that are giving us the other side of the story and providing that counter perspective. 30, 40, 50 years ago, all we were hearing was mainstream media was feeding us. That is no longer the case. We have the ability now, Hannibal, to see things from why the Hamas or Palestinians, Hamas might be the extreme the extreme aspect of the Palestinian perspective, but we could see now why Palestinians look at what is going on the ground over there in Gaza and in Palestine because we have access to information that we didn't have 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Yes, but, you know, conspicuously absent is the fact that the PLO, a name that you don't hear anymore,
mm-hmm.
had made all the concessions that you just finished asking the good attorney about.
Yes.
They had renounced violence. They had sat at these tables. In fact, you know, the whole giving of Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat the Nobel Peace Prize for their, you know, for their accord, etc., you know, brokered by the United States. And it didn't work. None of, you know, the miles that the PLO gave up, which caused the leadership of the PLO to be in tension with their rank and file, you know, just further destabilize the area.
Let me ask Dwayne Henry this. Dwayne, when we were growing up and we heard PLO, the first thing that used to come to our mind was Yasser Arafat, right?
And
here's the deal, right? What has taken place with the PLO is a classic example of why entities struggle over time, right? Succession planning, Dwayne. Ain't happening. As I mentioned, when we hear PLO, the first thing we think about is Arafat. Since Arafat gone, we don't even know who that person is now. That's the point that I wanted to talk about.
Exactly. But you know what? You know when I first heard of the PLO? I don't know if you guys could, Hannibal a little older than us, but you know when in fifth grade, the 1972 Olympics.
Yes, sir. Munich.
I had never
Munich.
Heard
yeah,
of
man. I watch it. Channel 8. It coming on a week after the event. Actually, remember we used to get everything
yes,
a week
yeah,
later.
Yeah, yeah. Forget the news.
And we want to know why they're showing us clips of people standing up behind the building with a gun during an Olympic during a sporting event.
Yeah.
That's our problem. Succession planning. Hannibal. That's one of the biggest problems with a lot of these entities.
Yes, but the same thing happened to, come on, you are here's history book. The same thing happened to the PLO as the ANC.
Correct.
In South Africa.
Correct. The same thing.
Same exact thing.
Same exact thing. Agreed.
Yeah.
Mm. But the question is, why aren't we learning from this history? And what is it about power, right? What is it about power that those who are in power don't realize that it's best for them to control a window and not believe that they need to be in control for perpetuity? In perpetuity, this is crazy.
Listen to me. The reason that history is not learned is doomed to repeat itself, someone said once upon a time. You know, most of the individuals out in the street don't know anything about the PLO. They've never heard of the PLO. There's no segment that talks about the PLO, et cetera, et cetera.
That's an education thing you're talking about now.
Yes, but education has a political component to it.
Of course. And check this out, right? And me and one of my employees, right? Me and Baylor were having a discussion, Dwayne Henry and Hannibal, about not this weekend, the weekend before, right? And I bring up this example all the time, right? People claim to be revolutionaries, right? But there are revolutionaries, and then there are real revolutionaries, right?
Yes,
right. A perfect example, Hannibal and Dwayne and my audience, is Cuba, right? When Fidel and Che take over, right? And one day Che walk up to Fidel and tell Fidel, I'm out. And Fidel tell him, but what are you leaving for? We got what we want. We got power. We running things now. And Che tell him, well, I got my brothers in Angola that need me now.
Yep, and Bolivia.
We accomplish what we wanted to accomplish here. You do what you got to do. I got to go to Africa now, because liberation got to happen for everybody, not just for a select few. That's exactly one of the problems that we got with Henry. Where when people get in power, all they think about is control and the mental. They're not real revolutionaries. They're revolutionaries to satisfy them and benefit them.
That's my main point. If you is a real revolutionary, if you are a real revolutionary, in the true sense, you're going to support revolution wherever it needs to happen.
That's right.
Or wherever you think it should happen. And you will move around the world. You're going to be a true revolutionary, is a globalist. You know, Franz Fanon, he started with in Algeria, but he spoke about spreading this to France itself and to the Caribbean, where he came from, Martinique and Guadeloupe and them places. And you know, we know the story. The CIA brought him to the States. He suddenly had cancer at a young age. And, you know, the CIA brought him to the States and said they were going to take for medical treatment. And he never got to see a doctor. He died while waiting to see a doctor, you know, because they eliminate people like those who look for true revolution.
Hannibal, there's a reason why Che Guevara face on a T-shirt is more popular than Fidel, or no?
Yes, because of the fact that Fidel's revolution fell short. You see, I mean, you sit down and think about all of the individuals who have come here from Cuba. They predominantly of European extraction, and they are the doctors and the professionals, the accountants, etc. The African individuals who make up a majority of the population, they are the athletes. They are still, although they have a greater level of autonomy than they had prior to Castro's revolution, they have still not been totally inculcated into that system as of today.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm going to have to leave you because I have to go into a place where they're not going to let me talk on the phone.
thank you very much. Enjoy that thing later on. Can you can't have it now?
You can have it later on.
Thank you very much, Hannibal O'Brien, for joining the discussion. And Dwayne, he is right. from this particular standpoint, Attorney Henry, where when you bring a different culture, right, into an established culture, right, there is going to be tensions. That's just a natural thing.
Always,
right?
Yeah. And
in this case, when you incorporate the dollar, the amount of money we're talking about, the political dynamic, and just the notion that our religion, is not only different, but there's who want to believe that it's superior. Then you gonna then you creating something that's gonna last forever, and that's what's going on over there.
That's what's going on because you have the one religion that says the Israeli God, the dominant group that says that they're the chosen one, and then you got the other ones that said that their religion is the true one. You know, so anytime you have intolerance from anybody, there's not going to be a solution because. Like I said, going into a negotiation, you have to go in, or a mediation, you have to go in with an open mind. You can't go in there already your mind on set up. Then what are you going in there for? What? Just to have a meeting?
You know what I'm saying? But that's the importance of planning. Could you imagine that this discussion actually circling way back to what we talk about with planning? Comprehensive land and water use plan for the but check this out. When it comes to religion, right? And here's something I want to leave with the public. Be careful about assuming where religion is concerned, right? I remember when we had when America invaded the Middle East in response to 9/11. And I was shocked to hear that Tariq Aziz was a Christian, right? And he was one of Saddam Hussein's right-hand man. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought all of them were Muslim. And that's when you got to stop and educate yourself.
Well, we have the female Ashwani. She's a big woman in the PLO. She's a Christian.
Hear it there? Don't assume.
She's one of the major figures in the PLO.
When it comes to people's faith, respect people and don't assume nothing. That's what I learned early on with that. Then when I found out about Tariq Aziz, they say you are Christian. I listened to CNN and I said, wait, Christian? I thought this was about this. I said, no, sir, Tariq Aziz was a Christian. Hey, Dwayne, thanks a lot, man. And tomorrow, if you're available, we're going to need somebody to step in for the ranking member because he's excused for tomorrow.
I'll be available.
I'll, you know. Okay, good thing.
Okay.
Good. We're table talk tomorrow, thanks. Midweek table talk, Doug School. Ronnie Russell and Dwayne Henry gonna be filling in for the one and only Armando Rocky Labor. Great show to start off this abbreviated week, Indigenous Pulse Week here in the Virgin Islands, right? According to this particular show. We tonight as Columbus Day, but then people. Talk to you then. Be good and be safe.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, but it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Saturday mornings, we're here for you with Weekend Edition. 2 hours of news, interviews, new music, new books, rattling good stories, interesting people, challenging analysis, laughs, air shows, and donkey rides for the kids. So come along with us. Weekend Edition, Saturday mornings from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.